on that milk level. God wants us to become mature and get on the meat level where we can help people and we can do the works that he called us to do. Amen and amen.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree,
died to save man. The
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Just two scriptures. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 12, verses 5 and 16. Acts, chapter 12, verses 5 and 16. Our time is far spent. But one thing I want you to hold on to, that more important than time to God is the timing of God. Let me say that again, because somebody should be shouting about that.
Come on, doctor.
I said more than time to God is the timing of God. In other words, you got to know time is not on our side, it's on God's side. That's why he doesn't have to get in a hurry, because he can do whatever he desires to do. He can reverse the effects of the enemy. He can turn back the effects of the hands of time. He can do what no other power can do. He's able to do it all. So why does he have to rush? Why does he have to hurry? And when we learn how to walk, talk, live in his timing, and that means yielding to his perfect will, God always shows up and shows out in our lives. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Rita.
He was therefore kept in prison. The constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church.
16. Okay, all together. Verse 16, begin now. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to just talk for just a quick minute about the power of a praying church. The power of a praying church. Listen, my brothers and sisters, this complete account of Acts chapter 12 begins at verse 1. And for what we're talking about this morning, it ends in verse 17. Now, those of you who may be familiar with the story and know that this is Herod Agrippa I. He's the grandson of Herod the Great, who was in Jesus' time, the one trying to kill Jesus when he was just a babe. Now his grandson now has killed James, the first martyr of the 12 of the disciples of Jesus Christ. And now, Herod was waiting to the passing over of the Passover, or the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because there were a lot of Jews and people and proselytes in the city that he was afraid of a revolt if he killed Peter before Easter. So he got Peter after he had cut off the head of James. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews for political power and for political gain, he wanted to take Peter, the leader of Jesus's group, and kill him next. When he saw that the Jews were pleased and he wanted to please the inhabitants of his region, so it pleased him to gain political favor and to get in with the crowd that was out with Jesus. So now, they have taken Peter and they have placed Peter in jail. Peter usually, and guards for criminals were usually given one guard chained with that guard. That guard knows that if that person had gotten out, that guard's life would be taken in the place of that person who escaped. But with Peter now, they put a guard on his right hand and chain him. They put a guard on his left hand and chain him. They then took two guards outside the jail cell to make sure that if the two inside couldn't handle him, the two outside would. But that wasn't enough. There were greater guards set up for the possibility either of a breakout or a revolt where the others would try and break him out. And so there were quaternions. There were four groups of four soldiers in watches that were making sure, a total of 16 guards to guard Peter. Well, this sounds familiar because there were 16 guards to guard the tomb of Jesus when they thought that they could keep him in the grave on resurrection morning. But it didn't work then, and it didn't work now. Because I want you to understand, the church went in prayer. They were not at the prison, but they were at the church. They were at Mary John Mark's mother house, praying as a church of believers. Let me say a quick thing right quick about Peter being in prison. It says to me that everybody in prison isn't there because they've done something wrong. Can I get an amen? Amen. And also, can I tell you that there are people in prison because they are there because they have been wronged. Somebody has done them wrong, set them up, brought false witnesses against them, planted evidence on them, etc., etc. But then there are some who are there for their just deserve. They deserve to be there, just like the two thieves on the cross. One said to the other, listen, we're up here because we deserve to be up here. What we have done has caused us to be up here. But this man, speaking of Jesus, has done no harm. He shouldn't be hanging on the cross. Even the thieves on the cross knew Jesus should not have hung on the cross. But now, listen again, the church wasn't present in the prison, but they sent forth their prayers from the church. Now, there are five observations in verse 5 I want to look at right quickly. And it's important for us to see them. Observation number one, the Bible says, Peter therefore, what? Verse 5. Was kept in what? He was kept, that means against his own will, certainly in this case, without any real reason other than Herod's desire to have a greater political gain and favor with the people. And so Jesus knows all about how the world will do you whatever they can to gain the favor of the world. That's why in John 15 and 19 it says that ye are not of the world. And one of the reasons why the world hates you is because, in effect, you do not belong to them. You belong to me. And I got news for somebody. Don't think the world is going to like you, going to love you, especially when you live for the Lord, because you remind them of their sins and the hell that they're on their way to. So listen now again. It says, but prayer was made, listen how, without ceasing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
First thing I want you to note is the frequency of prayer. The frequency, how much they prayed,
yes,
the
sir.
Continuation of their prayer. Prayer was made without ceasing. My brothers and sisters, listen, you've got a powerful tool on your side and a powerful arsenal in your weaponry when you know how to pray without ceasing. Everybody can't do that. Some of us can pray the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer that the Lord gave to his disciples, and that's it. Some can't even pray that prayer. But very few of us can pray until the Lord says, well done. Very few of us can pray till the breakthrough comes. Very few of us can remain in prayer until the answer is clear and has come. There are special people who are designed to be intercessors. And what a ministry they have. The frequency of prayer. But there's also in that phrase, without ceasing, the fervency of prayer, the intensity of prayer, the passion of prayer. When it says without, it doesn't just say without ceasing, because it could have said, but prayer was made ceaselessly of the church and still covered ceaselessly or continually. But it says without ceasing. And that word without lends us the understanding of the fervency of that. In other words, they prayed what they felt. They felt something when they prayed. You know, some of us don't. Some of you prayed this morning and you couldn't tell me what you prayed for this morning, because you just said it, you know, more out of, you know, just nature, natural nature, the way you pray normally every morning. Lord, thank you for waking me up in the morning, blah, 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 blah. But you couldn't say with fervency how great. Listen, if there had been a situation where you didn't think you would have awakened this morning. When you'd have said, thank you for waking me up this morning, you'd have felt that. Because you'd have meant that. And not that you didn't mean, thank you for waking me up this morning, because he wakes you up every morning. Sometime we take for granted he's got to do it. But I can tell you there are some folk that didn't get up this morning. And because he woke you up, you ought to be mighty glad. He did it because he did it with a purpose in mind. So there is the frequency of prayer, and there is the fervency of prayer. But the Bible says that without ceasing of the church. So then that thirdly is, third observation, the fellowship in prayer. It was the believers getting together on one accord, praying for the same thing. The believing church of God coming together. You see, that's why it's so powerful when all of us can all together with all of our different minds, with all of our different connections, with all of our different relationships, with all of the differences we have, can come together for one common good, on one common call, for one common cause, and pray for the same thing. God shows up in the midst of that. He will do what us individually and even collectively cannot do.
All right, doctor.
But when we come together as a church and pray, the devil in hell is defeated. Listen, God isn't worried about the positions we have. I mean, the devil isn't worried about the positions we have. The devil isn't worried about our organizational skills and our structures and who we lift up and who we put down as supposed to be important and in the higher. The devil don't care nothing about that. But I tell you what, the devil is afraid of that saint who gets on his or her knees and don't care what the world thinks about them, because their prayer is to God. And the devil in hell trembles when the pure in heart talk to God. Because the devil knows that God is going to hear them and answer their prayer. You remember when Daniel prayed, didn't you? Three times a day. And those who didn't like him, those who wanted to bring him down, reported him to the king, and they made a statue that you wouldn't ask anything of any other god other than the king for 30 days. And Daniel kept on doing what he was doing, kneeling down, opening up his window to pray toward God, and they saw him continuing on. And God heard his prayer. Now listen. The devil tried to stop his prayer. God had to tell Daniel, when you prayed, I heard you. And when you prayed, I gave the answer. But the devil hung the answer up between heaven and earth. And for 21 days, he was holding on to your answer till I sent Michael down and told him, make him loose what I've given to my servant. And Michael came down there and showed him something, and the blessing fell out the devil's head and Daniel received it. But God wanted him to know, you got it the same day you bowed down and prayed. Now that's a message for us. Even if the answer don't come today, don't mean God didn't answer today. It may be a delay, but it is not a denial.
That's why when you pray and you let him have his way, he will show you that he's got this thing fixed. All right. So we have the frequency of prayer. We have the fervency of prayer. And then we have the fellowship in prayer. But I need you to know something else. You need to see the faith in prayer. They said, by prayer, these people, the believers, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church. Here it is, to God, to God, to God, unto God. All of that means the same thing. Here's what it means, that their faith was dependent on God. I'll say it again. Their faith was dependent on God. My brothers and sisters, when you pray, you ought to know that the one you're praying to can answer your prayer. You need to know that the one you're praying for cannot lose. You need to know that the one you're praying to has all power in his hand. You need to know that the one you are praying to has the ability to conquer, change, and control every condition of life. And they prayed with faith to God. To God. You might say, well, who else do you pray to? I don't know who else you pray to. Because certainly there are, again, prescribed gods in this world. The Bible is full of little gods. Here it clearly states to God, talked about the supreme God, Jehovah God. That was the God that the believers pray to. My question to you is, what God are you praying to? Because their faith was in God. But look at this, and I'm closing on this part. Well, maybe not. I'll become closer to the end. Again, they said to God for him. Now, the last thing I need you to see again, if you're writing this down, first observation was the frequency of prayer. Second observation was the fervency of prayer. Third observation was the fellowship in prayer. Fourth observation was the faith in prayer. But the fifth observation is the focus in prayer. Listen, they prayed to God for him.
Yes, yes, yes.
For him. Come on, Doctor. They focus. Well, what just so that you know that they knew what they were talking about. If you don't believe the last observation is focus, read the last three words of verse 5. They were praying God for him. Let me put it another way. Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, listen, James had just been beheaded by Herod. Herod took Peter to do the same thing to him after Easter or after the Passover. There are three suggestions for that. One, because of the people who were in the city, who were there because of the Passover and because of that experience. Herod showed that he had some kind of a respect for the Passover, one. Two, he waited to most of those foreigners and those folk who were passionate about the Passover in that situation left the city lest there be a riot. But three, he waited so that he was able to please the Jews. The Jews. So he waited because the Jews wouldn't have been happy if he had done that during the Passover time. So he made sure he covered every place that was necessary, checked every box to make sure he got all the brownie points he could get. And so he delayed. But while he was delaying, the brothers and sisters were praying. And they focused their prayers on God for him.
All right, doctor.
God for him. Listen, if you pray for me,
come on,
pray to God.
Yes, sir.
For me, that God would be for me. You see, because if God is for me, then whatever I'm going through has to take a bow to him. Whatever I'm going through cannot stand up against him. Whatever my issues are, God can handle them. So pray that God is in the picture and that God is for me. Because if he's for me, then it means he's against those and those things that are against me. God plus one is the majority. The whole world can be against you, but if you've got God on your side, you have got the majority. You remember when the prophet woke up and his servant saw the hill surrounded with the enemy, and he got all scared and worrying himself and told him, "We're surrounded, we can't do nothing." The servant looked at him and said, "Lord, have mercy. Lord, open his eyes that he may see that those who be with us are more than they that be with them." And my brothers and sisters, every now and then, you've got to open your spiritual eyes. I don't care what the devil think he's doing to you. When you go down on your knees in prayer and you come up with God on your side, you come up with the victory. You come up with the glory. You come up with the deliverance. You come up with all that God has for you. Somebody ought to shout amen. So there is the frequency of prayer, the fervency of prayer, the fellowship in prayer, the faith in prayer, and the focus of prayer.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.